I like old movies. The thrillers, the suspense. Not necessarily the horror flicks, you know. Freddy Krueger and those kinds of things. Some of my favorite ones are with Clint Eastwood. It was amazing that, and some of you may have no clue what this is like, but did you ever remember having one phone in the house? Yes? Okay, some of you were there, yeah. And when it rang, you had to turn down the TV. And as you were watching the TV, since you kind of knew, even if you hadn't seen the movie before, you could tell by the action what kind of music would be in the background. You could tell when two cowboys were facing off each other, you know. There might have been a guitar, you know. Or, you know, a lone trumpet. You could tell, you know, when in a little more modern film instead of an older Western genre where it was gangsters and, you know, two guys were going to shoot it out. You kind of knew what music would be there. You knew that when there was a crime going on and the criminals were doing their thing, that is robbery or stealing or breaking in, you could imagine, you know, even the music from Mission Impossible, dun, 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 you know, and you could just fill it in and you could watch that while someone was talking on the phone. What I find interesting is when we get to today's gospel reading, what music would you put in the background? If you had watched this on the TV and the sound was turned down, what music would we normally think would be there? And my first thought is something like Jaws. The reason why is Jesus Christ had been crucified. Now, that was not an easy thing to go through. He was nailed, he had been beaten, he had been whipped, he had been made fun of, mocked, humiliated, as far as people kind of projecting their own image and devaluing him and you know, phony, ridiculing worship by the soldiers and on and on. And then when you think about what the disciples did, they ran. Peter denies him. You know, they're in fear of the Jews, says the scriptures. And if you were the leader of a group of 12 people, maybe others included, right? And they deserted you, and they denied you, and you were killed, and then you came back from the dead, how would you feel about it? What music would you put to your own emotion and your own thoughts? And I thought of Jaws. Right? Because in Jaws, you know there's a predator coming. There is death coming. And in the sense of Jesus showing up, judgment coming. You did this to me. Jesus could have said. But you and I already know the story. He doesn't do that. And when you think about it, Jesus isn't normal. The disciples are normal. Jesus isn't normal. He suffered, died, and was buried. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. He is not normal. And from the one who is unusual and rare and almighty comes a beautiful message a message of repentance and forgiveness. You think, what have the disciples got to repent for? Well, they ran. They denied him in their own way. And they were afraid. You ever been afraid? Really afraid? I was sharing it with a friend of mine at the conference in St. Louis these last few days, where Gwen and I were, and about Megan, our oldest daughter, having the brain tumor and the surgery and all of that. And I was talking to him, and I said to Ted, I said, and I was afraid, and it was stupid. And Ted laughs at me, and he says, that's not stupid, but it is a sin. Think about it. What we consider normal to be afraid is often a sin response. The first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, right? You know, to have no other gods, and to put anything before God, to be afraid of anything more than God, to be afraid of anything in that sense, as if it has the power of God or greater, or can trump the power of God, that's a sin. And yet we're normal, aren't we? The disciples were normal. They were normal, and I can imagine how their confusion over the plan, God's plan, the Savior's plan, would bring fear and frustration and things like that. You ever have that frustration? Yeah. That's normal, isn't it? To not want God's plan. This isn't how we thought about it. We wanted, you know, remember what Peter said over my dead body, you know, when Jesus was talking about he was going to die. It's normal for us to want a different plan. I mean, just think about it. Pick any five people and let's decide where we're going to go to eat. And we all have a different plan. And so we consider some things within the text, it just seems like it's normal. What's wrong with this picture? And the beautiful message is that to normal people, Jesus calls for repentance. The things that we do normally, according to our sinful nature, Jesus Christ calls us to repent so that he may proclaim his forgiveness. And there's a lot of normal stuff, isn't there? Wives talk about husbands. You know what my husband did the other day? And the other women in that conversation will go, yep. That's a man for you. They're normal. Men are together and they talk about their wives. And you know what the woman said? And that's what they say, the woman. You know, the woman, guys go, yep, that's the woman for you. That's normal. But into the normal, which is into the sin of the world, into the darkness of our sin comes a Savior, and instead of bringing in this music of jaws like death is going to happen now, he's bringing in the song of life. He says, peace be to you. Peace to you. This is really different than have a nice day. Okay? You know, have a nice day is a positive thought on your behalf, right? When Jesus says, peace to you, it is the equivalent of what he said to the person who was lame, rise and get up and walk. It is the equivalent of what he said when he was in the boat with the disciples in the middle of the storm, and he said, "Be still." And the storm and the waves and everything stopped. It is the equivalent of when he called Peter out of the boat to have Peter walk on water, when he simply told Peter to come. When Jesus says, "Peace to you," that's what he's doing. He is actually giving, granting, empowering, bringing real peace. It's not, "Well, have a nice day. I hope you do better." You know. Into what we call normal, which is in our sinful behavior, our choices, our silliness, our fears, our frustrations, our wants and desires that are often contrary to God, Jesus Christ brings himself, having paid for the sins of the world, he brings something that we can't find anywhere else. It's the cure for what we think is normal. It's a cure for the stupidity and the foolishness of our heart and our mind. And he says, "Peace to you." Now, how is that peace granted? It's by the one who gives forgiveness, the one who died so that forgiveness is available, the one who brings our reconciliation before God. That's how it's brought. Are we any different than the disciples? I mean, you don't have to raise your hand, but I'm going to ask some questions. Have you ever wanted a different plan of God for you? Yeah. Have you ever not liked what Jesus said? Yeah. Remember the one, "How many times I have to forgive my brother?" Yeah. When I was a kid, I wanted, "How many times can I hit my brother?" 70 times 7. Do you understand? We don't like God's plan. How many times have you ever been frustrated and almost demanding, although you really want to, you don't want to admit it that way, that you wanted God's plan to be fulfilled quicker than what he was going to do? Yeah. You see, we're normal, aren't we? And into our lives comes this beautiful word of the Savior who still lives, still reigns, still is the victor over sin, death, and the devil. Into our lives comes this beautiful message: peace to you. The one who overcame death, peace to you. We do not have to be afraid of death. For the one who overcame the devil, peace to you. From him, we don't have to be afraid of the devil and all of his tricks and all of his foolishness and all of his shenanigans, okay? We don't have to be afraid. Peace to you. For all who doubted, for all who scratch their heads and say, "I don't get it. You know, how can that be?" Remember, Mary said that. How can this be? To all of us comes this beautiful music of the gospel. And it's a song of life, salvation, and hope. It's a song of comfort, of peace, and of love. It's the song of Christ who comes into our life every day through his word, through the sacraments. He comes to us. He brings himself. He brings himself to everyone who's normal. Are y'all normal? And he changes us. Now, this is something we still don't like. He changes us to be abnormal. One of my favorite lines from an old movie, although I guess I saw it first in college, was from Mel Brooks' version of Young Frankenstein. Do you remember this? Okay. And he had sent Marty Feldman, who played Igor, depends upon how he wanted his name, to go get a brain for the creature that Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein, was going to, you know, bring back to life. And when that didn't work out as the good doctor wanted to, he's got the actor, you know, by his throat, and he said, "Did you get the right brain?" And he has to tell the good doctor that he dropped the one the doctor wanted, and he got another one. And whose brain was it? And he goes, "Well, it was Abby." "Abby who?" "Abby Normal." And so the monster had all these problems. The difference from that comedy line to what the Word of God is saying today is it's not a joke. He changes us from being normal, dead in sin, to alive in Christ, to be his witnesses. And here again we find our normalcy. How many of you will go door to door this afternoon with me? You know, we've said, "Well, that's a normal response." Do you understand? He calls us out of our comfort. He calls us out of our complacency. He calls us out of the darkness of sin, out of our doubts, our frustrations. He calls us out of the normal routine of humanity to walk with him in the newness of life and his grace, and to be a witness for him. And that witness is not simply when you speak of God to somebody who's never heard of God. That witness is to be about how you live every second with every breath. It's in your attitude, demeanor, and language when you're in school. It's in your behavior, your language, your expressions when you're dating. It's in your serving when you're married. It's in your integrity when you're working. It's in your faithfulness in your daily walk with Christ. Not by the power of what you did, but what Jesus said to you to get you out of being normal when he said, "Peace to you." He changed the disciples and he changes us when he gives us his peace. Would you look at each other and say, "You're abnormal"? It doesn't seem like a compliment. But think about it. It's the best thing you could ever hear from a world like ours. And yet, our normalcy is to want to fit in, to blend in, to not stand out, and to hide. And now we're back to the disciples in the upper room. They were hiding. They were normal. And into that normal group, Jesus changed everything. And to you, he changes everything. That we are to be his witnesses and all the world. And it begins where we live and breathe and play and act and live out our life with our family, our friends, our co-workers. We are to be different. Not sinless, that's impossible. But we are to be different, because when we have sinned, when we have offended, we are really abnormal. We go to that person and we say, "I am sorry." Not worldly sorrow, because the next phrase is important: "Will you forgive me?" We're abnormal because we invoke forgiveness that we have received from Christ. It makes us strange. But it is one of the best witnesses that we can give into our community, into our family, into the congregation. So instead of hearing from God, "Dun, dun, you know, the music of Jaws, we get to hear the song of celebration as peace is ours through Jesus Christ. Amen.